Yeah, so you've got us just after 1 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon. We're doing Top 5 Tuesday. That's the TV shows. I know. Not much going on at the moment. We're going to do, during the course of the NRL season, we'll have your top five performers over the course of the weekend. Can be players, can be coaches, can be match officials. You let us know. 1300 01 1170. Get us on the text line as well. 0457 736 736. Your chance to win the Signet Boost power bank. Bharat Sundaresan coming up very shortly. He's live over there in India. He'll be across the SEN team for the test matches that start on Thursday. So we're excited about that. Afternoon's amplified very shortly with Coach K score update. And of course, we'll head across to SENZ for Staffy and the crew. They're excited because they've got the All-Stars game over there in Rotorua. I reckon Staffy and his crew will be covering that. So we'll have to make a check on that one. We are talking about Jack Whiten and Latrell Mitchell, even more than perhaps we should. George Piggins is back in the fold at the South Sydney Rabbitohs, and that's great news. No John Bateman yet at the West Tigers, and we're just wondering if they keep looking at Adam Dwayhe, a one-year offer to stay as they're chasing Mitchell Moses. We get this from the NRL Shadow via Twitter. Arvo, boys, as a West Tigers fan, I think the Tigers will keep both Dwayhe and Brooks. Moses looks like joining, and there is room for four further signings. Let's hope results go our way in 2023 to further tempt other West Tigers are looking at to add to a fullback and centre and one more forward if they fit the bill. So I suppose they could fit them all in, yes. I think that's outrageous. We don't know exactly what it looks like from their salary cap position, but you would think with the increase and that a lot of sides are now being able to fit players in. I know some had ratchet clauses, but a lot didn't. So we'll see how that plays out. And also Aaron Finch has announced his retirement. So he had a fine career for Australia, international retirement, not so much at Test cricket, but certainly in the white ball stuff and captained Australia. Played in that 2015 World Cup win and captained Australia to the T20 World Cup win that was last year. Or was that the year before? That was the year before. So that's how quickly it can go. So, and of course, we are looking forward to the test matches that are starting on Thursday. Interesting, Ian Chappell's had his say. That's bullshit. We've got to pick a right arm and we've got to pick a left arm spin bowler. It's crap. You pick the best bowlers. I agree, Chappelli. Very straightforward. I like the way he does that. We're also talking about the Manchester City situation over there. They've been listed with 100 transgressions of what the Premier League finance rules. All sorts of sanctions are anticipated. Might be a points deduction, might be fines, even expulsion from the Premier League, which seems a little extreme. Why don't we go to John on the line from Harrington Park, who's going to have his say around that. G'day, John.
G'day, Jimmy. Is it too late to say Happy New Year?
No, it's not. Happy New Year to you too, Johnny.
All the best, mate. Look, I'm very quickly, married with children, should be in the top five somewhere. But anyway.
Okay.
I'm a Liverpool supporter and don't say anything at all because I know what you're like and we're doing it tough at the moment. I'm not dirty on City for transgressing with the financial side. What I'm dirty with is 2 or 3 years where Liverpool has had to be near perfect to win the championship, where we've got record points and they've still beaten us because they kept winning like we were winning. And this year when we're going like bastards, they're losing games. That's what I'm dirty with.
So here's it only goes up to, John, it goes from the 2009-10 season to the 2017-18 campaign.
Okay. So fair enough. But I'm still dirty on them for the fact that the last few years, when we've basically won every week and they've kept winning every week, and this year when we're going like bastards, they're losing games. That's what I'm really dirty with them for that. I don't care. Look, most of the teams, Jimmy, as you know, like most of the top teams are spending billions of dollars anyway. So I don't get what they're going on about the level playing field when you've got six teams that run the league, basically.
Well, it's really interesting. I was looking at the valuations, John, of English Premier League teams, and I think the sixth most valuable franchise is Tottenham, and they're at like $3.3 billion. The seventh is West Ham, and they're at 600 million. So they're about a fifth, even a sixth, the size of the next highest up, which is Tottenham. And I think it goes all the way up to Man United, where the highest at 5.7 billion or whatever. But that's the gulf. And you're right, it's the top six. Although the way Liverpool are playing, John, at the moment, not quite the top six. But anyway, I take your point. What do they do, though? What do they do? Expulsion from the league, I mean, dropping them down to... I know Craig Foster said that, and his football knowledge is far greater than mine. But that seems extreme. And as we say, there's so much money involved, I can't see it happening. Keep the text coming in, 1300 01 1170. The text line, sorry, that's the open line. The text line, 0457 736 736. Up next, we're heading to India to speak to Bharat Sundaresan. It is going to be an enthralling test series. How it plays out, we will have to wait and see. You can hear it all across the SEN network. A key part of that commentary team will be Bharat Sundaresan. He writes for Crick Buzz, and he's our man on the radio, and he's our man on the ground over there in India. G'day, Bharat.
G'day, Jimmy. It's been a while, and it feels surreal that I'm speaking to you from India. We've spoken so much about India over the years. And here I am back where I don't belong anymore, but where I came from.
Yeah. Are you excited about that, mate? Does it that hold special significance to your adopted home, to your original home?
It does. It hasn't totally sunk in yet because I haven't gone to Bombay where I'm originally from, and I think I'll head there somewhere in between the second and third test. There's no test match in Bombay. There's an ODI later on. But it's quite fascinating to see how much India has already changed in these 5 years.
The
extent I never, ever thought, I've covered a lot of cricket in Nagpur. I never thought I would be sitting in a brewery, sipping on some local craft beer, which Pete Lawler acknowledges in Nagpur. If you had said this to me 15 years ago when I first came here, I would have laughed at you.
That's fantastic. So we're all a bit jealous of that, but now we've got to get down to the cricket. The makeup of the Australian team, It seems that everyone is having their say on this. What do you anticipate being the 11, and does it differ from what you would have as your 11?
Firstly, I'll base it on what I saw in Bangalore. I was there watching them train in the camp. There weren't even any other journalists there. So it was a four-day camp, but two pretty loose but busy days where everyone just was out there batting and bowling. And on Sunday, which was the last day, and there was a match simulation like process going on, you could kind of gauge what the playing 11 would be.
Right.
Which, from what I saw, you'd see Renshaw at 6, Ashwin Agar bowl as the second spinner, and of course with Josh Hazlewood's injury, Scott Boland comes in as the second seamer. So I'm pretty confident that should be the playing 11, unless something changes between then and now. I mean, Australia will have the first full-fledged training session in Nagpur in a few hours from now. So things could change, but at the moment that's my call. But we'll have to wait and watch. So Ashton Agar is the second spinner, Scott Boland is the second teamer, and Matt Renshaw at number 6. Cam Green may be pushing it for the first test, even as a batter.
Oh wow! Okay, interesting. I heard someone talking the other day too about how important Cameron Green's gully fielding is too. So that with a broken finger is going to be challenging. So Renshaw at 6. So that. And Agar as the second spinner. So that suggests that they're going to get plenty of overs out of Travis Head or Manus Labuschagne or a combination of the two. Do you think that's what they're going to do and rely on that with just the two seamers?
Yeah, and maybe it's a little bit of Renshaw as well. And look, it's changed from Test Match to Test Match. Nagpur is historically a venue which maybe not so much at this time of the year, but it's just a dry part of India, the central part of India, and the pitch can be dry. There have been some raging turners here. Does not automatically mean there will be one at the start of the series. So it will be interesting what we make of the pitch once we do get to the ground in an hour or so. But yeah, you would want a second spinner. And I think, look, a lower order batting plays such a big role in subcontinental cricket. You have a collapse, and it's often that 75-run partnership for the sixth or seventh wicket that can save you the day. And that's where Ashton Agar has an advantage of sorts to come in. Otherwise, you're looking at a batting lineup, an inexperienced door order, and Alex Carey has never played test cricket here. Travis Head, who's never played test cricket here, middle to lower order, I should say. And then Pat Cummins, who's not been in the best batting form of late. And then you're into Bowling Lyon and the rest, if they play three seamers. So I think that also kind of brings Ashton Agar into the game.
Okay. We talk a lot about the Australian 11. What about the India 11? There'll be no Jasprit Bumrah. There'll be no Rishabh Pant. We know that the way those two have played against Australia, especially in Australia, of late. How significant do you see it as their absence from this 11 on and their impact on this, or lack of impact on this series?
It's not often you say Jasprit Bumrah might not be this too much. He would definitely be, but he hasn't played a lot of test cricket in India. India won a lot of test matches in India without Bumrah. He played a lot away and done wonderfully well. And they have in Shami, Siraj and Umesh Yadav, quite an assortment to pick from. All of them have great home records. The problem for India is the absence of Rishabh Pant. Because not just because he's done well against Australia, but he's also one of those batters that they have in the middle order who takes down spin, who attacks spin. And another big loss for them for the first test is Shreyas Iyer, because he has become India's best player against spin in these home conditions. A lot of the others, I wouldn't say struggle against spin, but haven't always been confident against spin. This is strange when you talk about Rohit Sharma, Virat Kohli and co. But because that's the case, there are like some question marks about who plays at number five. Maybe Shubman Gill is just scoring runs for fun in one day cricket, so he comes in. But there will be a debutant behind the wickets. It will either be K.S. Bharat, my namesake, who's a very proper, organized batter and an exceptional keeper, or a maverick in Ishan Kishan, who can do exactly what Rishabh Pant does. I mean, they've played under 19 cricket together. They're very much alike. So that'll be intriguing to see which way India go. And then with the bowling as well, you'd think they'll play Ravindra Jadeja and Akshar Patel together.
Yes.
Just to make up, I mean, not just because Akshar Patel takes wickets for fun, but also adds that batting to depth to India if he does play.
Yeah. Interesting around Shubman Gill. We were talking about him last week on this program. I think he scored a test match winning 100. He scored a double 100 in a 50-over international, and he scored 100 in a T20 international. And and it contrasts against what David Warner was saying when David said, I think he said it on the red carpet or in the lead-up to the Alan Border medal, I'm exhausted after this summer of cricket. Shubman Gill, when they asked him about the workload, he said, it's a blessing to play any game for India, let alone all three formats. So it's interesting to see. I know one's 36 and the other one's 23, and maybe that should be the case, but it was interesting just to see the contrast in attitude to that, Bharat. What did you make of it?
It's a different perspective, right? It depends where you are at in your career. Like you said, David Warner has been doing this for a long, long, long time, and he's been on the road for a long time. And he's got kids that he loves and wants to take care of. And Shubman Gill, at the moment, doesn't have those responsibilities. And also because Shubman Gill's been trying to knock the door down for a while now in all three formats. It's only in the last 6 to 12 months he's done that in one-day cricket. But even now, there is this thought that Shubman Gill, the test player, hasn't really hit that top form. I mean, we saw him make that fantastic debut at the MCG and that innings he played at the Gabba, which set up the win for India. But he really hasn't yet come of age in this format. So, no surprises that he's hungry to play. And this injury to Shreyas Iyer kind of opens the door for him.
Yeah.
Even though he's a genuine opener, I think he has the game against spin to bat in the middle order.
For Australia, where do you see the biggest danger? Obviously Kohli is there and remains a huge presence. R. Ashwin, you mentioned, and how dangerous he can be. Jadeja has this incredible record as well. Is there, when you look at the tip sheet of what Andrew McDonald is telling this Australian side, or maybe it's all three and more that create the problem. How do you see it, Bharat?
R. Ashwin will be hungry to, prove a point of Australia, just like he always is.
Yes.
Much like Virat Kohli. But one thing Australia cannot do is just over-focus on spin and ignore the Indian fast bowlers. It's, it's no longer the 1970s, right? This World Cup is taking long. But because Mohammad Shami, Siraj and Umesh Yadav, I mentioned, have great home records. Reverse swing will play a factor in Nagpur. So if you just keep focusing on Ashwin and Jadeja, I mean, and Akshar Patel, you could end up, you know, losing wickets to some of these other, or to the fast bowlers. I think Australia's only concern would be the batting in terms of some of their experienced batters haven't had a great record here. David Warner, you mentioned.
Yes.
And the others like Manus and Travis Head and others have never played test cricket here. And even Usman Khawaja, for that matter. And they're coming off
yes.
rich vein of form. But it will be a new challenge. It's one thing preparing for a unique challenge like this, but then there's another, and with the crowd and everything else, it's a different beast playing test cricket in India, and that'll be a challenge. You expect them to overcome it. But that is my only concern, like how the batting shapes up once we get to February 9th.
I don't know where your loyalties lie, and I think you probably are best placed out of anyone through the two countries to give a impartial position on this, but what's your series score going to be, Bharat? Who wins this Border Gavaskar Trophy?
I said this like a month back, Jamie, that I think this is Australia's best chance in a long time to win, and this has nothing to do with the fact that this is my first Australia-India series in India as an Australian journalist and commentator, but I really do think, despite the injuries, they still have all bases covered. I mean, you think of some Australian teams in the last 20 or so years that have come here. If you lost guys like Stark, Green, Hazelwood, you'd really be worried. But from a bowling front, you still have some great backups like Scott Boland just coming in with an average of 12 and with the skills to succeed here. And I think the batting will fire. They're hungry, and for the likes of Warner and Smith, this could well be their last test tour to India. They want to win before their time's up. So I'm going to back Australia to win 2-1. I think Delhi being the draw. And that's my call. It's going to be a very exciting series, and Australia are going to take it.
Okay, 2-1 to Australia. Delhi a draw. What about Nagpur? Do we start with a win for Australia?
Oh, that's a very good question. I think, you know what? I think it could well be a repeat of the Pune test, not in terms of a raging turner game finishing in 2 days. But I just have a feeling if Australia do what they did in Gaul, even in that first test, they should be fine. They should be safe. And I think they are going to surprise this Indian team. I actually see Australia going up 1-0 in Nagpur, and then India coming back into the series later on and setting up that last final test in Ahmedabad in front of maybe 132,000 people perfectly.
Oh. Wow. It's going to be a fascinating series. It starts on Thursday. The timing of it is perfect for an Australian audience. It starts at 3 p.m. in Sydney time, and we can't wait for it. Bharat, you're going to be a key part of that commentary team across the SEN network. Great to chat today, mate, and enjoy your test series.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. I can't wait. And yeah, I also enjoy the brewery. Don't forget that. The game will finish in 3 days.
Sounds good. Bharat Sundaresan there, enjoying himself over in India before the fun and games start for the test match on Thursday. Give us your thoughts on that. 1-300-01-1170. The text line 0457-736-736. All right, a break and back with more.